can't drive your house to work, so you need your car. Nowadays, everybody works from home, so you don't need your car either. So, what happens is they're letting go instead of, their cell phone bill is more important than their car typically these days.
Welcome to 22 Minutes in Lending, your go-to podcast for insights on all things lending. From lending practices, regulatory updates, how to enhance lending efforts, and more. In each episode, Vince Passione connects with industry leaders to discuss the latest trends and happenings around the lending industry. Let's dive into the latest in lending.
Welcome everyone to 22 Minutes in Lending. I'm your host, Vince Passione, and I'm excited to welcome Bill Moniz as our guest today. Bill has spent over 25 years in the auto industry. He started his career at Citizens Bank and went on to hold senior level positions at both Belmont Savings Bank and SunTrust. Today, Bill is the CEO of Cinch Auto Finance, also known as Credit Union Loan Source. Since taking the helm at Cinch in 2016, Bill and his team have driven remarkable growth. Bill, welcome, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, listen, congrats on the success, and we're going to talk about it a little bit further, Bill. But I want to dig in a little bit about, you know, Credit Union Loan Source and Cinch and the history. And maybe you distinguish between the two of them. That would be helpful.
Sure. So Credit Union Loan Source was developed to help the founding credit unions in Georgia in 2004. It started doing business about 2005, early 2005, rolled out to other credit unions within Georgia. I think they peaked out at about 12 to 14 and then rolled back after the recession to about 8 when I joined in 2016. So from there, we worked with Illinois to expand our credit union box, per se, who we're selling to, and the rest is history from there. I mean, we started adding states regularly, and, you know, through the COVID and the acceleration of liquidity, credit unions had needs for alternative assets and investments, and that's where we came in. So we started growing pretty significantly in that range. Now, with Cinch, as we expanded through our dealer network, you know, we did get a lot of, well, we do not need another credit union. We have plenty of credit unions to participate. And, you know, we're a finance company. We're a CUSO finance company that, you know, is able to provide the same type of services as, you know, a Bank of America, credit union, finance company, and what have you. I mean, the difference that we have is we're prime only. So most finance companies fall in subprime world. We're prime only, 640 plus FICO. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that when we're going to a dealership to expand, they understand that we're a finance company and we have a program to offer.
I was preparing for the podcast and I was looking at some of the Cox data that's out there. And so here's some stats. So new cars, which I was very interested to see this new market day supply, which is new to me since my days at DealerTrack. But if you're familiar with it, it's how long the vehicle stays. Inventory, and you're saying that's now at 74 days, and that's up 43% year over year, which was fascinating to me.
But if you rewind to pre-COVID, that's typical number. I mean, maybe it's more in the mid-60s, but it's not significantly higher.
So the impact on new car pricing right now, it looks like average listing price of new cars about $47,000. And is that up, down, or about the same, Bill?
That's up about $14,000 from pre-COVID. So, you know, we were, at least for our books, we were running about $33,000 for a new car. And we're in the industry average right now.
And on the used car side, I was looking at the available inventory that's out there on Manheim. It says about 2.26 million units that are out there, which they're saying is up about 3% from a year ago. That seem about right?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little light. And again, it's based on the leasing market not being able to fulfill vehicles back into the inventories. So, I think leasing has come back. I mean, it's running close to where it was. So, you know, I think after probably like 26, 27, we'll start seeing the used market come back in that side.
So Manheim's index says that used car prices are starting to stabilize. The average listing price I was able to find was about 25,670, which seems to be down from last year. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing. And, you know, we're starting to see not so much accelerated on our end, not so much accelerated depreciation, but more back to the normal, you know, 1.5% a month.
So what impact does it have on LTV? And obviously for the dealer, right, he's got the front end and the back end. What are you seeing happening there? Because, I mean, the dealer's making money to sell the car, but they're making money on aftermarket products. It doesn't matter if it's new or used.
Correct.
But especially on the used side, how are those values and the value of the vehicle changing, affecting the LTV and affecting that component of underwriting?
Yeah, so we're like I said before, we're prime to super prime shop. So, you know, what we've saw over the last 3 years, we typically run about 8% on the positive for trade equity. You know, during mid-22 to mid-23 or so, you know, that was cut in half to about 4%, but we never really ran in the negative as far as equity here. Now, industry-wide, absolutely. I mean, you know, not only were prices inflated, sometimes vehicles were demanding a upcharge, market adjustment. So, you know, those type of vehicles, I don't see them coming back unless if there was significant cash put down on that. You'll see some negative equity probably for a couple of years still to come.
Yeah, so that's an interesting stat, and even in the CFPB has touched on it. But I think the industry as a whole recognizes that that's a number that seems to be running pretty high. And the last number I saw, it said about 24% of new vehicles financed have negative equity in them, and the average consumer that has negative equity, that value is about $6,400, which is up significantly. I mean, the yeah. last big number I saw was back in before 22 was about $4,500. So how does that affect the consumer? How does it affect the credit quality?
The rise, you know, the rise in negative equity obviously, you know, mirrors the increase in cost of vehicle. I mean, vehicles are, you know, it's not unheard of. I mean, more payments are over $1,000 than not, which is extremely high being in this business for so long. So, you know, it's somewhat shocking. But, you know, I think that the negative equity factor is, you know, educated consumer, you know, you typically see that more so on the prime, not always, but, you know, they're looking at the term, right? If you're stretching the term, you're upside down, that's just going to continue to move forward, right? So if we could cut back on some of these terms, now we go to 84 months, but, you know, as you go higher on term, you're getting cut back on LTV.
No, I get it. It's always troublesome, right? When you see someone carrying their old car into their new car, right?
Yeah.
So now they're paying off 1.5 cars in that same loan, but
right.
It's unavoidable. Are you sort of seeing gap insurance pick up in sales on the back end from the dealers? Because I would imagine that most of the lenders would be pretty interested in making sure that the consumer had purchase gap insurance if they're carrying that much negative equity.
Yeah, and yes, I mean, we've seen a little bit of an uptick in gap, but it's been pretty much the norm. Typical customer, you know, if they're finding that, you know, and they know up front that they're trading negative equity, they're obviously, if they could qualify for the gap, that is, be purchasing that. Yeah.
So credit quality, let's touch on that. Delinquencies went up, and it's interesting, they've been running about 8%, right, of auto loan balances for the last 30 days. And there was, you and I were speaking back, I feel what conference we're at together, and I think it was August of 2022, felt like that was the beginning where something went wrong, at least for the credit unions I service, and I'm curious if they were yours, that all of a sudden there's a batch of loans that started back in the summer of 22. And when credit unions market share went from 16 to 25%, this just didn't look like they were performing well. So how much of that 8% that we're seeing in delinquent loans is that vintage, and how much of that's just, hey, it's the consumer's under stress and it's just happening?
Yeah, there's a couple pieces of that puzzle, right? So KBRA came out yesterday or this week with their, you know, delinquency on asset-backed securitizations. And prime was up 17 basis points to 1.2 in July. So that 8% definitely is loaded with the 9% 30 to 59 delinquencies in subprime. So, you know, we have that. We have, you know, negative equity doesn't help. Inflation is definitely driving the delinquency, you know, but, you know, what they saw in their study against the securitization market for them, you know, the highest 60 plus delinquency since 2011. So that's concerning, you know, and inflation is, you know, you used to always, like, during the 08 times, somebody I used to work with was always like, well, you know, you could can't drive your car, I mean, your house to work. So you need your car. Nowadays, everybody works from home, so you don't need your car either. So, you know, what happens is they're letting go instead of, you know, their cell phone bill is more important than their car typically these days. So, you know, that's what we're seeing as, like, just the world evolves, right? So it's just
that's a very interesting observation, Bill. I used to joke around and say they can repossess you. We can hook your car right in 90 days, but they can't take your house away for a year. So it makes sense, and they need their vehicle. But you're saying, hey, people are working from home, so now new priorities: pay your cell phone bill, right?
Yep.
And let them take the car. Wow.
Being able to call into work. That's just how it goes these days. And, you know, just like most, I guess, you know, fintechs and, you know, QSOs or whatever. And, you know, we have people working from home. It's sometimes a factor of even hiring somebody these days. So.
Now, Bill, I remember when I started in the industry two decades ago in auto finance, right? It was get the consumer into a payment that's $350 a month.
Right.
Great. Now we're trying to figure out how to wrap our heads around $1,000.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, that, you know, that $28,000 vehicle, if you have back end, it's about $600 payment, you know, it's unbelievable.
This is Kara Van Wert, Chief Lending Officer at Viridian Credit Union. Since 2016, we've been working with LendKey and joined the Member Student Lending QSO to help provide student loan solutions to our members. As the current QSO board chair, I'm proud of the QSO LendKey partnership, as this has allowed Viridian to help over 12,000 of our credit union members finance their education and improve their financial health. LendKey's streamlined processes simplifies the lending experience, making it easier for our members to access the financial support they need.
We were talking to Tony Battelle. He was on from Origins, right? He's got his big Tesla program for running.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they see. It's certainly a higher credit quality customer. And do you hear anything about subvention in this space? Because when I see Musk turn around and move price, I'm like, why don't you just use subvention? Why would you mess with what you care about is the cost of ownership, right? So you can subvent there's things you can do without changing the MSRP. Are you seeing
cash buyers then? Yeah, that, you know, typical Tesla is what I've read. Specifically Tesla is more cash buyers than financing. So you're not really going to subvent your population of customer. It's a good question though. I mean, like, you know, as soon as you take that price down, then you're impacting all of your consumers and future consumers, because their, you know, vehicle was 60,000, now it's 50. You know, it's hard. It's hard to play that game. But I'm not going to question Elon though.
Yeah, no. That's right. But residual values are a scary thing, right? You know, especially if you're leasing that vehicle and you expect it to come back after those 36,000 miles, and you have a price in mind, right?
Right.
Worth. So. No, that's great. So almost to the end here of our time, Bill, what do you think the top trends are as you're looking at 2025? Some of the risks and trends for auto finance and credit unions that are out there thinking about this, and some banks about the auto finance market. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's been a lot of turmoil in the markets over the last few weeks. You know, rapidly changing electric outlooks, you know, so the volatility is not over. I mean, it's just beginning. I think that, you know, There's still projections for a soft landing in 25, but you know, that could still lead into a recession. I think things are up in the air. I think credit is going to remain slightly tighter than it has in the past. You know, and then we also we're not sure where the aggressive rate cuts are going to lead us. So I think if there's rate cuts that are significant for the market, you'll see a lot more re-entry on the purchasing side. Like you said earlier, inventories are there. I mean, for most vehicles. I mean, I know there personally, there's a couple of Toyotas out there that they're just not getting delivered yet. So you just, you know, it depends on the make and model. But I think it's going to be continue to grow. I think the auto market had a pullback on, you know, basically leasing inventories and so forth. I think, you know, we're going to get back to where we were in the late 2000 late teens over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think things are going to go exactly back to the way they used to be, right?
No.
Hear
No, I
you.
think that you know, when prices go up, you know, how often do they really come back down?
That's
So,
right.
you know, we're going to see new car vehicles continue to climb and on cost and same with the used for some time. I mean, it might not be as drastic and quick to get there, but they're not coming down. So
That's great. What are you seeing on the fintech side?
I've been seeing cutbacks on the auto side. You know, the companies that came out, you know, when liquidity was at the height and mark on the credit union side, you know, a lot of these lending companies pop up, mostly unsecured, you know, and then they tried to get into auto. They really didn't make a splash though in auto, from what I've seen, and from a volume perspective at least. But now they're more so dialing back, and you know, from what I've read this year, you know, originations are pretty low. They're still doing them though. I mean, from what I see, but not at the levels where they wanted to be in 2022, let's say.
Yeah, from my perspective, it looks like it's more direct to consumer. You still see innovation in direct to consumer, right? Consumers
Yeah.
are still, they struggle with the sales process, going into the dealership, you know, get arming them with more information. Some of the stuff we talked about, right? I mean, you're going to be in your car for a longer period of time. Things like maintenance become a bigger issue, managing a
Right.
warranty, dealing with gap insurance. These are all things that for a lot of consumers are kind of new. And I'm seeing some direct-to-consumer plays that really kind of better help you manage the asset, set you up so that you understand, like, here's a credit line, right, for
Yeah.
you to have with you as you think about the vehicle. And then more importantly, what's your vehicle worth, right? There's always that wonderful Carvana ad about, you know, the husband and wife, and she's picking the appropriate time to sell the minivan.
Right.
And she shouldn't have to check,
Right.
right? Right. And what's the right time? What's the bid and the ask? And then what's the vehicle you're trying to get into? Let's go find it. I think the other thing is inventory management, right? When I was at Dealertrack, right, we were constantly on it. Now at Cox, right, they've got a good purview into inventory. But is there a way to create a virtual inventory where, look, for everything's for sale at the right price, then why wouldn't you expose all inventory, all the vehicles that you're putting people in right now? Why
Yeah.
wouldn't they be open to buy if someone gave them the right price?
Right. And some dealerships do that. I mean, not companies, not finance companies, but dealerships do more than I would say the finance side. The other thing we didn't talk about, Vince, was CDK. You know, that definitely interrupted some of the market for about 2 weeks. You know, there was dealers out there that couldn't write a contract. You know, e-contracting helped during then because they couldn't use their paper systems, you know, but that messed up management, the inventory management systems, you know, even cutting checks for the simple fact of daily operations. So, you know, that was a big disruptor of 24, in my opinion, even though it was short-lived, which thankfully so, you know, there was a good amount of dealerships down. But yeah, I mean, going back to the finance companies out there, you know, I do see that they are more successful on the unsecured on the origination side, but I don't know if you've seen it, but I have not. what is the performance of those? You know, I haven't dug into that at all.
Well, you're talking about personal unsecured loans?
Yeah, I know you guys don't, but I'm saying the other
no,
you know,
it's
startup people.
Okay, I think for lots of reasons, and I think it's the macro, is that the expectation and performance, certainly these loans have underperformed, and that's a concern.
Yeah.
And I think everybody was very infatuated going short, which is why I think a secured short asset, right? Auto loans has always been part of the bread and butter of the credit union's balance sheet. So I think there is across the board, right? There's a flight to quality with CECL. You sit there and say, yeah, okay, great. I'm going to write that loan, that personal unsecured loan at 14%. But when all of a sudden you start seeing CECL reserves go up, it doesn't feel as good. It doesn't same kind of return. So I do think there's a pullback. We're starting to feel that from our clients, that personal unsecured loans, they're pulling back a little bit. There's demand for it from the consumer for lots of good reasons, right? Someone doesn't want to revolve on a credit card, taking an installment loan to do that makes a lot more sense. But I do think, as we talked about earlier, there's a flight to quality. People are tightening up, and they're tightening up not just in their credit box, but also looking across assets and saying which ones were more riskier during this downturn. But I agree with you that, look, auto finance, and look, you and your team, you guys are experts at it. You've been at it a long time. It's not for the unwashed or the unexperienced, right? There's a lot of nuances to this business that take a long time to learn and to understand. And you have to go through cycles, right? I remember back in early, 2002, when residuals dropped like a rock and everybody was leasing like crazy.
All those leases,
You've got to live through
it. Companies went under. Those type of things. Yeah. And that was part of it too, like for these finance companies that spin up an auto, indirect auto specifically, you need the experience. I mean, like we could hand over all of our, you know, secrets, but you still got to execute. So it's having the right team in place and that, you know,
and also, look,
what we put together.
Yeah. We talked about refinancing and, you know, it's a really interesting part of the industry and it's a small part. But one of the challenges has always been titling, right? If you screw up a title and you try to hook that vehicle and you got it wrong, guess what? You're not getting that car.
Right.
And there's still a significant number of states that require a wet signature on all those documents, which makes that process, it can't be fully digital to the way we want it to be. So I think there's some friction points in that process that hopefully will change. When they do, then your comment about refinance, I think, will take off. But there have been a lot of entrants in that refinance market over the past 10 years, right? And it's still, as you said, it's still pretty nascent.
And outside of like the credit union banking world, mostly just, you know, fintechs basically spinning up refi markets. It is difficult. And I agree with you 100% on the titling. That's pretty much 80% of it. We have a great group here, fortunately, so we're able to work efficiently. And, you know, it is coming down to a lot of electronic is getting put into place, e-signature, but we still got a long way to go. There's many states that are.
That's right.
So
Bill, September 17th, rates come down. What's the immediate impact? What do you see happening the next 30, 60, 90 days in your world?
Yeah. So, I mean, we pretty much, like I said earlier, we change rates regularly several times a week. So, you know, we're more looking at following the 2-year treasury and what's become of that. So currently that's already baked in. So we'll be looking for the next rate cut or so forth. I mean, obviously we follow the market trends. We have competition. We want to make sure, you know, we're within the elasticity of, you know, getting the volume we need with the return we need. So we're not going to be the industry leader on cutting rates, but, you know, we're following the market pretty regularly.
Great. Well, Bill, listen, again, congratulations on your success. Thanks so much for spending the time. It was a great conversation. I want to thank all of our listeners as well. And don't forget to subscribe so you can enjoy future episodes. And I'll meet you back here at our next 22 Minutes in Lending. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me, Vince. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the 22 Minutes in Lending podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You'll find links to any resources mentioned in the show notes. If you're enjoying our show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.